The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Pick Six Podcast, your sports daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Sunday, December 26th. We're about to do the live. So we're doing it live on YouTube, also in the podcast feed, of course. If you're watching on YouTube, this is the live look ahead to Week 17 odd show featuring myself and John Breach. Breach, what's up, buddy?
Brinson, if this was a normal year, any year but this year, this would be the last regular season week coming up, but it is not a normal year because there's 18 weeks now. So the penultimate week of the
NFL. Exactly what I was going to say, but then I thought I'd let you say it, and then I would say, hey, Breach, Merry Christmas, buddy.
I thought that you would thought to think to say that, which is why I said it. And Merry Christmas to you, man. I'm wearing red. Everybody watch on YouTube just for Christmas instead of Bengal orange.
If you're watching on, if you're listening on Spotify, then hit the, there's a five-star review you can leave, or a five-star rating you can leave for the podcast now, a new feature that Spotify has added. So please click that, of course, like, subscribe, and comment with your best Week 17 bet in the YouTube comment sections. We will start with a spicy game. I believe this should be the main CBS game. Tony Romo, Jim Nantz, Tracy Wolfson. Because I think Tracy Wolfson said, see you next week, to Rick Burkhalter, the Chiefs trainer on Twitter. Chiefs, -4 at the Bengals? The first place Bengals just throttled the Ravens. The Chiefs took care of business against the Steelers too. But Chiefs is 4-point favorites at Cincinnati. How does that make you sit, Breach? A little disrespected?
That does not compute. You know what though, Brinson? I think that the Bengals are going to take that as disrespect. I mean, hey, the Chiefs are on a roll, but when you're talking about the Bengals, they're in first place in the AFC North right now. And this is a huge game because if they win, they clinch the AFC North title. It's all over. They don't have to worry about the final week of the season. They're in the playoffs. It would end the second longest playoff drought in the NFL. The Jets have the longest. The Bengals tied with the Broncos for the second longest. And so I think the Bengals are going to be absolutely fired up for this game. Now, the one problem is they give up a lot of passing yards on defense. I think one of the top five worst. Chiefs aren't much better, though. So we could see a game here where Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow both throw for 500 yards. The one thing I will say, even if you're not comfortable picking the Bengals to win straight up, of their six losses this year, four of them have been by 3 points. So their games are generally close if they lose or they win in a blowout. So because of that, I, Brinson, and something that will not surprise you at all, am going to take the Cincinnati Bengals to cover the 4 points, and I'm going to pound the over.
I think that there's a good chance this is a shootout as well. We saw the Chiefs defense is better than the Ravens defense, which is not something I expected to say in 3 or 4 months ago, but the Ravens have dealt with so many injuries. They just got absolutely blasted by Joe Burrow and that passing game. I do think that they'll be able to exploit to a fairly large degree the Chiefs secondary as well, and that we could see a back and forth here. Now, you know what? What's interesting is normally when the Bengals get a big lead, they like to pound Joe Mixon and you don't see a ton of points. This is sort of a spite revenge game against the Ravens. So it's also hard to imagine them getting a huge lead over Patrick Mahomes and just squatting on it. And Mahomes, who appears to be rounding into form, unlikely that he's able to, unlikely that he just, doesn't do anything in this game. I will say that for me, this is an easy bet on the Bengals. Early, if you want to bet on the games early, this is an easy bet for the Bengals on me because I do. I see it up to 5 and going up higher. What is it going to move like that? Is it going to get a Chiefs -6? If it's moving, I was thinking it would creep back down to 3, but then maybe too many people will take the Chiefs if it's 3, right?
Yeah, it's not going to move toward the Bengals.
Okay, all right. Then I want to wait on it and I want to take the Bengals. The Bengals have the firepower to keep up. I know it's a big stage. It's asking a lot of these guys. but I think they can hang with them inside six. I don't want inside. I don't want it three. I would take it at four, take it at five, take it at six. I think that that's a viable bet. I see -5, -115. So that's going to keep moving. If you like the Chiefs, bet it now. And if you like the Bengals, probably wait. If you like the over, bet that now, because that's going to keep going up. There's no way, unless Cincinnati weather is just disastrous next Sunday, which, ooh, hello. Looks like we get snow and some mild winds. Snowers, though. You don't have to worry about the under in the snow. You think over in the snow because defenses can't keep up. If you like the over, probably take it now because it should keep ticking up thanks to these offenses that are in play. Breach, what a big game for you.
Big game. I might even show up next week, Prince. I've got to focus on how I'm going to watch this game. I got to put on my lucky clothes. It's if I'm not here next week, you'll know why.
Is it because you're in Cincinnati?
Maybe.
If you're in Cincinnati, you got to meet up with Colin Bear, who's our Bengals fan extraordinaire, who DM me 50 times. Oh,
and he should have. I'm glad you just shouted him out. And it's a big weekend for Cincinnati because on Friday, the Cincinnati Bearcats are in the college football semifinal.
And on Saturday, they won't be.
Because it'll be the final. Maybe.
No, you're not getting that done. Raiders at the Colts. Colts -8.5. The Colts, of course, won very shorthanded in Arizona in an impressive effort from Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor on Christmas night. The Raiders pulled off a very nice victory over the Broncos on Sunday afternoon to keep their playoff hopes alive and basically send Denver to the dustbin. The Colts -8.5 at home with an over under of 46.5. That is a lot of points, Breach.
That is a ton of points, especially because this is basically a playoff game for the Raiders. If they lose, their season's over. They have no shot at the postseason. And the Raiders have been a weird team. We've seen them play competitively against good teams. We already saw them beat the Cowboys, beat the Ravens. They have some good wins this season, so there's no reason to think they can't at least play with the Colts. When I saw that this game was on the schedule, I thought the Colts would be favored by like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
8.5? I mean, there's just... I mean, the Raiders' defense played arguably their best game of the last decade on Sunday against the Broncos. They held Denver to just 18 rushing yards. I don't think they're going to do that to Jonathan Taylor. But I do think they're looking good against the run, and I think they will slow Jonathan Taylor down. But I do think the Colts will win. But I think the Raiders are going to cover the 8.5.
Yeah, I would expect that if you can get an 8.5 on the Raiders, you should take that because I see 7.5 out there. That it's just too many points. Now, I wouldn't expect that it drifts back down below. Like, I don't think it's going to get down to like 6.5 or 5.5 or something like that because Lord knows the Colts could get, you know, they could get all their offensive linemen back. Quentin Nelson was a COVID list guy. He should be back. And then all of a sudden it's Jonathan Taylor just eating against this Raiders front, which would be problematic for Las Vegas. You put Derek Carr in a one-dimensional situation, force him to throw the ball against that Matt Eberflus defense. And the Colts also will be getting back, we would assume, Darius Leonard, their defensive player of the year candidate, linebacker who was missing, was placed on the COVID list over the weekend. So I would probably take the Raiders now, but I can't see this game unless – and look, R.J. White talked about this. R.J. White talked about this. But if you're going to jump on these early in these COVID weeks, it's probably best to jump on the underdog early. Because if there's a bunch of COVID situations, let's say Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor are, for whatever reason, test positive or put into the protocol, this would fly down to like Raiders +3 or something like that. Whereas if you take the Raiders +7.5 and Derek Carr is in COVID.
Right. And two things, Darius Leonard out because he's unvaccinated, has to miss 10 days.
He's going to miss this game too then.
He has to miss this game too. And maybe we see Darren Waller back on the field. So that maybe if you're betting the Raiders, that would make you a little bit more confident. He's been dealing with that knee injury for like a month now. And he's been week to week for a month now. So you'd think he's got to get back on the field at some point.
Yeah, you would think so, right? I would think take the Raiders now. Because you're getting a full touchdown. It's not like this is going to shoot up to 14 or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, like the Colts could blow these guys out in a heartbeat. But if you're interested in the Raiders, you probably want to take them now. Broncos at the Chargers. The Chargers had everything in front of them and are completely collapsing in Chargers fashion. They lost at the Texans. They got blown out by the Houston Texans and Rex Burkhead and Davis Mills. A pathetic effort from L.A., they don't control their own fate when it comes to the playoffs. Fortunately, they get the Broncos coming to town, Probably won't be a great home field advantage, but they are favored by 5.5. The Broncos, having lost to the Raiders, they're like down to 1% to make the playoffs. Over under 45. Woof.
Brinson, this was the most chargering that's ever chargered. This wasn't like just getting blown out by the Texans. The Texans were missing like 8 starters because of COVID. And I know the Chargers didn't have Austin Eckler, didn't have Joey Bosa. They were missing some players too, but you still had the Texans outmanned and managed to lose by double digits. It doesn't make sense. The Chargers love to lay eggs late in the season just when you think you can trust them. And you know what? The last time they played the Broncos, Denver absolutely destroyed them. It was 28-13, and it was one of those games that can be replicated because it was the Broncos' defense that did all the dirty work. They just shut Los Angeles down. And because of that, I don't know which way to go here. And one reason I don't know which way to go is because I don't know if we're going to see a Broncos team that's just going to mail it in and quit on the season because they're basically eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Broncos or after losing to the Raiders. Or are we going to see a Broncos team that wants to play spoiler and is going to go in there and beat up the Chargers? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at the injury report this week. If Teddy Bridgewater is the starting quarterback, I am going to bet on the Broncos to cover. If Drew Lock is the starting quarterback, I am going to take the Chargers to cover.
I don't hate that approach. Teddy makes me feel a lot better about playing the Broncos. Drew Lock is just too wild. And against the Chargers defense, Joey Bosa shouldn't be back for this game either, though, because he's unvaccinated. But Derwin James is back. And, you know, the Chargers didn't do anything against the Texans, but you know, that defense should come out angry, motivated. They do have some life.
Bosa might – I'm not – it's 10 days.
Yeah, you're right. Bosa did get – he
went Darius early. Leonard's was Saturday, and then Bosa's, I think, was like Wednesday. I'm not sure. It's going to be close.
If Bosa's was Wednesday – I think it's Tuesday, you might need Tuesday to get it. At any rate, yeah, it'll be close. But unvaccinated Joey Bosa, we don't know if he's definitely going to play or not. I want to say take the Broncos, but what a heartbreaking L for them. Are they really going to be – like you say, are they really going to be motivated to come in and try and win this game? I'm not entirely sure. And, you know, again, I think that this sort of game, these are tough because we've had over the last 2 weeks, so many outbreaks of COVID situations where like, I would normally say, man, you know, it's hard to see the Broncos getting pumped up for this game. Take the Chargers. Now this could get up to a touchdown. The Chargers don't really blow anybody out though. And like I say, you have these COVID situations. If Justin Herbert gets it, you're screwed. Austin Eckler should be back for this game. I think I like LA, but I don't necessarily want to play it right now. If that makes sense. I mean, right? You know, it's
you gotta wait to see who's gonna be playing in the game.
Yeah, I mean, and we don't want to, we don't hedge out on these, you know, early picks or anything. But you know, these are different times. You know, I was setting my dad's fantasy lineup over Christmas.
Unprecedented times.
Yes. And I was like, Dad, you need a backup player at this position for this game. You can't go to Monday night with Antonio Gibson and not know if he's going to play or not. You need, you know, et cetera. Anyway, yeah, that game's sort of a stay away for right now. Let's see how the injury report and the COVID situations go. Cardinals at the Cowboys. Cowboys are playing on Monday Night Football. If you can bet the Cowboys -3 against the Cardinals, you should take that immediately. Because the Cowboys are currently up. I don't know if you saw it, Breach. They scored another touchdown. It's 42-7 after Dak Prescott hit Amari Cooper for a 13-yard touchdown with 10 seconds remaining. They're up 42-7 at half against the Washington football team. It is an absolute massacre. That is going to move, with the Cardinals struggling, this line up to like 5 or 6, something like that, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are absolutely spiraling out of control, as they seem to do in the second half of the season under Cliff Kingsbury all the time. And, you know, I just can't take them to win, to cover, to anything until I see their offense.
They lost 3 straight games to the Rams, Lions, and Colts. I mean,
and they scored 12 points against the Lions. The offense is just non-functional right now. They're totally out of sync. They don't look like they have any idea what they're doing. They look like they've regressed. You know, at the beginning of the season, they looked like one of the top 5 offenses in the NFL. Now it's hard to say that they're even a top 20 offense. I mean, that is how bad they've looked. And, you know, I know the Cowboys offense had been struggling, but it seems like they got their struggles out of the way in the first half against Washington. And you know what? You know who's been really good at covering the spread this year? The Dallas Cowboys. They are the top in the NFL, even if they don't cover against Washington, which they probably will, because it's halftime, it's 42-7. tops in the NFL. And I'm just not going to bet against that, especially at 3 points or 4 points or 5 points. If this is one score, I'm taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Dallas, who has now, by virtue of the Rams winning, has moved ahead of Arizona in the standings, which is kind of wild too. Dallas likely to go to 11-4 after this game, which means they're in a three-way tie with the Rams, Buccaneers, and three-way tie with the Rams and Buccaneers for the second, the second best record in football in the NFC. The Packers are first. These four teams who are the Bucs have clinched the division, Dallas has clinched the division, the Packers have clinched the division, and the Rams are trying to clinch the division and trying to still get the one seed because it's still in play, although, unlikely because they lost a tiebreaker to the Packers. But all four of these teams are going to be playing hard for the next 2 weeks, in week 17 and 18. We're probably not going to see them sit a ton of starters unless and maybe the Rams could if they know they can't get past the Packers. But you get the point. Dallas motivated against Arizona, and you don't want to look bad. You get your offense rolling against Washington. You don't want to look bad against another NFC playoff team. I agree with you. We'll have to see what this line reopens at, but if you can bet on the Cowboys -3, you should hammer that. Rams -3 at the Ravens, and over under a 45.5. The Rams. They took the division lead. They had the division lead over the Cardinals. They are looking like a team that is a lot more dangerous. Matthew Stafford didn't play well, and they still won. Not handily against the Vikings, but they took care of business on the road. Can they do it in back-to-back weeks, Breach, or do you think the Ravens present some value here? We have to assume, by the way, that Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley will be back for this game, I think.
Yeah, the Rams now in the division lead. You know who's not in the division lead? The Baltimore Ravens, because they got hammered by the Cincinnati Bengals. The thing is, I actually want to know if Lamar Jackson is going to play. I think everyone wants to know that before they start betting this game and trying to make a pick in this game. And the one thing about Lamar is that he's never lost to an NFC team. He is 12-0 all time straight up against NFC teams. The Ravens offense, when it's fully healthy, isn't easy to prepare for. Lamar Jackson's out there. You're an NFC team. You don't see him that often. And so maybe this is the game where John Harbaugh had it circled. Like, we need to get Lamar back on the field. We win this game. We're still in the playoff hunt. We're still in the division title hunt going into the final 2 weeks. So I think Lamar Jackson will do everything he can to get out in the field. And like you said, it'll probably be Tyler Huntley if Jackson can't go. So you're going to have, if Lamar's out there, you have a desperate Ravens team. They know they need to win to keep their season alive. That being said, this team's defense is decimated. We saw what Joe Burrow did to them. I have no idea how they're going to cover all. They have like two healthy defensive backs. I don't know how you cover Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham and everybody else the Rams have on that offense. I think Matthew Stafford might have a huge day, so I am going to take the Rams to cover.
Yeah, and you're not going to get a number on this that's bettable in a lot of spots until we know about Lamar Jackson. That clearly impacts the betting line. Rams -3 feels like all right, if Lamar plays, we can adjust and we'll live with it on these low limits we set for these early odds. And if Tyler Huntley plays, people are probably a little scared of betting Rams -3 because if you do and Lamar plays, you're going to lose several points in value. And if you bet it and Tyler Huntley plays, I don't even know that you feel that great about it because Tyler Huntley looked pretty good in his game against the Packers. So probably a stay away, I guess. I agree with you. I do like the Rams in this game against that secondary. Matthew Stafford will want to prove something. The Baltimore weather is never really delightful in the month of December, and it will not be particularly delightful. It doesn't look like it anyway. A lot of rain coming in the next week for Baltimore.
In the 50s. Whereas, if you have an LA team going out and playing in the 30s and wet or snowy, yeah, it's a little dicey, but it's in the 50s. They can handle it.
I totally forgot to take a break, so let's take a break now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
And when we come, no, just kidding. When we come back, now that we're back, we'll talk about the Vikings at the Packers. My fault, Debo. Vikings at the Packers -7, over under 47.5. Aaron Rodgers, an absolute clinic on Saturday. You know, even though they didn't cover, he was fantastic. He submitted, you know, I probably cemented MVP, could almost certainly cement, like lock it in with a dominating performance against the Packers. The juice on this game, which this is the Sunday night football game, I believe, right? It was just Monday night football.
Brown Steelers Monday night.
Sunday night football is Vikings at Packers. Over under 48. The juice is Vikings +7, -115, implying that in theory this could move back to 6.5. That would be really surprising if that happened. But the Vikings have played close games all year long. So maybe Vegas is a little worried about giving them a full touchdown. We saw how they probably should have covered against the Rams late and just didn't pull it off. They're a team that is, you know, just likes to stay in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, if you see a touchdown with the Vikings, you almost always have to grab it. And you talked about Aaron Rodgers putting on a clinic on Christmas Day. You know who didn't put on a clinic? The Packers defense. Mm. I mean, they got steamrolled by Nick Chubb and the Browns rushing attack. And you know what? There's no reason to think the Vikings won't be able to do that. Dalvin Cook should be able to come off the COVID list on Saturday, the day before the game. If he can't play, you still have Alexander Mattison. Whoever's out there should be able to run on the Packers. So that makes me think this game can be close. We already saw Minnesota beat Green Bay in the regular season in a shootout. I think that was 34-31. And so, and like you said, look, the Vikings have played 15 games this year, 14 of them have been decided by one score. That is all of them except for one. There is no reason for me to think this is not going to be another one score game. So I'm going with the Vikings to cover.
Yeah. The 7 is a lot, even on Sunday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers. You know, go back to the, like I said, the dominant performance by Rodgers against the Browns. Cleveland still had a chance to win and still covered, not easily, but stormed through the back door. It wouldn't be crazy at all if the Vikings had the ball down 10 points, the Packers trying to eat clock, they punt. Kirk Cousins, you know, hit some, you know, Hail Mary-ish thing to Justin Jefferson. And all of a sudden, it's a 3-point game. I think I would take 7 with the Vikings because of the just sort of insane way that they play at what feels like every game. So I'm with you there. Probably look towards the over. It's up to, what do we say? What did I say it was? 40. Yeah, that's creeping up. It was 47.5. Looks like it could be up to 48 now. I don't know if. Does weather concern us? Oh my God, it's going to be cold in Lambeau. Does weather concern you for Kirk Cousins?
Not if the Vikings run the ball 40 times.
Okay, Dalvin Cook will not play in this game for what it's
no, he will be eligible to come off the COVID list the day before the game on Saturday.
Oh, he is?
That doesn't mean he will come off the list. That means that it's possible.
I thought he needed to go through. God, I hate these. It's very confusing.
The thing is, it's 10 days, but you have to figure out which day the actual positive test, because sometimes it gets reported the day after, and then you're one day off, and then it's just.
Oh, that's what it was. I was looking at, they placed him on the COVID list on X day, but it's actually what day he tests positive.
Right. See, he can come back Saturday if he tests negative, but I'm only about 91% sure.
Okay. 9% worries me a little bit. But it's going to be it looks like the temperature at kick for this game will be 4 degrees. So that's fun.
Frozen tundra.
Frozen tundra in full effect. There's a bunch of snow expected for Saturday. Maybe that shifts to Sunday. That would be fun if we got like 4 degree weather, tons of snow on Sunday Night Football. Vikings, Packers, the tundra. Maybe the under is actually a better. Although I don't think the snow really matters for the over under. I mean, snow doesn't matter for, like, you think snow, oh, it's going to go way under. Nah, not necessarily true.
And then Aaron Rodgers throws 7 touchdown passes and it goes over.
Correct. Finally, Browns -2.5 at the Steelers, over under of 40. This, we do not have a line on this yet. We do have a line, obviously, but I don't see, it looks like it's off the board in some spots, which I thought was interesting. What do you think about this game? Because the Steelers, as we will talk about shortly with Ryan Wilson, looked washed against the Chiefs.
They looked like they were looking ahead to the Browns. Like, they didn't care about the Chiefs. And even if they did care about the Chiefs, they probably still would have lost by 3 touchdowns. It didn't matter. The Chiefs were the better team. But you know what? That game doesn't matter anymore, because this game matters if you're the Steelers or if you're Browns. This is a huge game, because if the Bengals lose to the Chiefs on Sunday in week 17, then the winner of this game on Monday night still has a chance to win the AFC North going into week 18. And so this is a gigantic showdown. And you know what? I think we both know how the Steelers are going to play this game defensively. They're just going to say, all right, we're going to put 11 guys in the box, shut down Nick Chubb, and see if Baker Mayfield can beat us. From what we've seen from Baker, I'm not sure he can do that. Browns only scored 10 points the last time they played the Steelers earlier this season. This is just a tough spot for the Browns to be in. And also, the Steelers, Brenton, 19-1 straight up in home Monday games in their past 20 home Monday games. I mean, that's just one of those numbers that kind of blows your mind. And I like the Steelers here, especially as a home underdog. I know that's your thing, but now I'm making it my thing. I'm taking the home underdog.
I mean, Big Ben and Mike Tomlin is an underdog against a Browns team that has been okay, but has been banged up and has made, you know, isn't exactly dominant. You can run on the Steelers, so Nick Chubb should have a huge game. But Big Ben at home in what might be his next to last game ever in the NFL against a team he's loved to dominate his entire career, because they passed him over, I think, at least once, right? For when they were picking him. And he has felt spite and a chip on his shoulder towards the Browns his entire career. Would not be surprising if he came out in primetime, like, guns blazing, and really surprised some people, got the Browns on their heels. You make Baker Mayfield throw, and all of a sudden you get turnovers happening left and right. I like the Steelers a lot in this spot. I'm not sure which direction the line will go, or why. What are we waiting for on this line? Like, Ben retiring?
Well, you know, those reports always come out, and then boom, the Steelers win.
That's my thing. Don't you dare. Yeah. Like,
if Ben announced he's going to retire after the Monday night game and not even play in week 18. And then boom, the Steelers win by 3 touchdowns because they're inspired by.
Or maybe Ben announces that he's going to hang it up at the end of the year and just comes out and just lights up the Browns. I want the Steelers getting the points in this spot. All right, Breach, that'll do it for our coverage of the early week 17 picks. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Tell us your best bet in the comments. Hit that 5-star rating on Spotify. Breach, we'll talk to you after the game for the Sunday night recap. Check that out in the feed as well. See ya.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.